Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Savior. Amen. Again, the gospel lesson for today is our sermon text, John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. Listen to those words again. I wasn't going to read them, but listen again. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." God's word in Christ, fellow redeemed. There are certain phrases or passages from Scripture that even the general public seems to know or remember. For example, John 3:16. You see that oftentimes at sports games, right? Football, basketball, some of the other ones that especially aren't on TV, somebody's holding up a placard that says John 3:16. I wish what they would do instead, instead of just putting John 3:16, put the words on there. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." That would make more sense. But again, people recognize that as something Christian, right? Another one, the Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Right? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Psalm 23. And some of the words of our text for today. Specifically, when Jesus says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You ever heard that? Other people saying it? Problem is, it's usually taken completely out of context. And misused and abused, besides. They use it, for example, to say that, well, you know, justice wasn't served in this particular judgment that came down from the courts. So, if we do some DNA testing and get some more evidence, the truth will set that prisoner free. It's actually used as a motto for a couple of universities. I think it's Idaho State University and Caltech have, "The truth will set you free." People use that as a moralism too, that you should always tell the truth, never lie, because the truth will set you free. Okay? There's a lot of other different ways in which people use that passage, that phrase, in everyday life, but all too often, as I said, it's misused and abused because it forgets the words that Jesus, the very important words that Jesus said just before that. He said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." He's not talking about just telling the truth. That's important. Don't get me wrong. Eighth commandment. But Jesus is talking about God's word. That truth is what sets people free. What is he talking about? What is that? What is that truth? What is so important about it that it is valuable for us to take time this morning thinking about it? And how does it relate to the Reformation? Well, Jesus emphasizes it to his disciples because there were many who at Jesus' time had followed him, came to faith in him, but just weren't quite all that excited about continuing. And there's the rub. He's talking about not just a one-time deal, but holding on to that truth. Don't let it escape. Don't let it go. There are a lot of people who want freedom, and they're talking about all kinds of different types of freedom. Political, societal, whatever. Jesus is talking about the greatest freedom ever. The freedom that only He can supply, because you and I can't. We cannot acquire this freedom except in Jesus. And in Jesus, we are also called on then to hold firmly to this truth, the truth that comes only from Christ. Jesus says, if you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What do most people think of when they hear the word freedom? Freedom to do whatever I want, right? I enjoy the freedom that I have in America to do what I want. I can go where I want. I can do what I want. I can have whatever job I want. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's my freedom. And usually it's totally apart from anything that has to do with God. Right? In fact, all too often, sadly, it's the exact opposite of what God says in His Word is what I want to do. I don't want any rules. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. If it's going to be anybody, it's going to be. It's going to be my rules. In fact, I want a rule is their idea of freedom. Jesus says something completely different. He says, if you hold to My teaching, that means with that iron grip that will not let go. If you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The thing that Jesus is talking about is important both in regard to quality and quantity. We are to hold to Jesus' teaching, nothing else. But there's a lot of people, even church people today, Christians, who think it's okay to hold on to Jesus' teaching, but also hang on to maybe a little bit more of human knowledge, man-made theories, and conclusions, and that'll be okay. Kind of a combination thing. No, Jesus says, hold to My teaching, doesn't He? But it also has to do with quantity. It's not, as I said, just a one-shot deal. This is hanging on for dear life, for the rest of your life. All of your life. Not just in time, but in every circumstance in life, God's Word applies. Not just, oh, that's something I learned long ago, it really doesn't, I don't have to do anymore, right? It was something that I spent some time on studying, and that was good enough. So I don't have to worry about, ongoing growth in God's Word, continuing to hear it, because I'm, after all, a believer from long ago. This is holding on lifelong, being grounded in God's Word, but then also building on what God reveals in His Word to me. Always hanging on, clinging to it, running to it, seeking what God has to say. Not away from it and ignoring and just simply dispensing with what God has said. And then living according to it as well. Living with it, not opposite it. And certainly Martin Luther is a prime example. In the early 1500s, when Martin Luther was given the responsibility to preach and teach God's Word at the University of Wittenberg, he came to understand more clearly what this truth that Jesus talks about is all about. In particular, he learned that what we've come to call and what Luther loved to speak about was the gospel of justification by grace through faith. The long explanation or moniker, title, of the fact that Jesus went to the cross to pay for yours and my sins, and now God declares us not guilty for the sake of what Jesus has done for us. And he did that all out of his undeserved love for us. That is the very essence of what Jesus taught and what Luther sought to restore to central place in the church. The truth about Jesus and our salvation. How it is that we are set free. And this was so important to Luther. Free from the guilt that he felt because of his sins. The guilt that haunted him day and night. Free from the failure of his previous way of life, always trying to do more and more good works to earn his way to heaven, which resulted only in causing him more turmoil, pain, problems, and despair. But once he came to know the truth about Jesus, not being that cursed judge who was going to damn you to hell, but rather the Savior who went to the cross to give you heaven. That's the truth that moved Luther so much that he couldn't help but preach and proclaim that to one and all. The truth that truly set him free. That's what Jesus is talking about. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And Jesus, notice, he's not talking about just any truth. He's talking about God's truth. And here's the thing. God does not lie. In fact, Moses, in his letter or words in Numbers chapter 23, says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. God does not lie. People, Satan, the father of lies, and just about everything else that you come into contact somewhere along the line is going to lie to you. Even the Google machine. Even the internet. Watch out for that. But God does not lie. Jews were lying to themselves because they make this answer to Jesus' point. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and we have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" They were lying to themselves. For the majority of their actual history as a nation, they had been slaves. 400 years in Egypt until Moses finally led them out through the Exodus. During the time of the judges, they were constantly being attacked and dominated by the Philistines. Shortly after, it was the Assyrians who came in and completely wiped out the northern 10 tribes, never to exist anymore. Then came the Babylonians, who take them off into captivity for 70 years and then let them come back to the promised land. Then the Persians, and then the Romans, the ones that were in charge and dominating at the time of Jesus. So, I don't know where they get this from, that we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. That was a lie. Politically, but even more importantly, spiritually. They tried to imagine or tried to convince themselves of this falsehood, that just simply because of the bloodline that they had going all the way back to Abraham, remember, the father of believers. Yeah, well, the father of believers. Believers in what? Believers in the promises and the truth of God. But they weren't willing to recognize that. They were just so enamored by the fact that they were blood relatives of Abraham, and that was good enough. So when Jesus came to preach and teach God's word, to like Luther, restore it to its rightful place in their lives and in their history, they weren't interested. They didn't want that kind of freedom. They wanted freedom from Rome that had nothing to do with what God was all about and why Jesus came in the first place. And then to claim that, well, they were free because they were relatives or descendants of Abraham? What a foolish waste. They were throwing their heritage away by rejecting the faith that Abraham had in the promises of God, and especially of that Messiah of whom Abraham and all his descendants afterward were to cling to. The one who was promised would come and came in the person of Jesus Christ. A lot of people do the same thing today. Maybe they don't say it in so many words that, you know, they base their salvation on this or that. They'll instead talk about the happy life, happy afterlife. Okay? So I'm going to base my happy afterlife on I had my name on a church roster one time. Or my parents and grandparents were really good church members. Or, you know, I've tried to live a good life, and you know, that certainly counts for something, right? I try to always follow the golden rule, and therefore God should accept me. That's my truth. All the while rejecting God's word, ignoring Jesus and what he has done for us, looking at myself instead of the perfect life and righteousness that Christ alone could win for me. Ignoring what Jesus did on the cross to suffer and die, bleed to death, so that by his blood you and I might have the forgiveness of our sins. And completely rejecting the fact that on the third day Jesus rose victorious from the dead and now lives and rules eternally. And to get into his kingdom, he himself says, know the truth. God's truth will set you free. And again, Luther. It was only the good news about what Jesus had done, the righteousness of God won for us in Christ Jesus, the perfect Son of God, that sent his mental anguish packing. He had tormented and tortured his own body time after time to the point where he was close to death, to no avail, because it did absolutely nothing to give him the peace of conscience that he was longing so much for. Even the fact that he was endlessly striving to do good more and more. That's what the church was teaching him. It only got him deeper and darker and more dismal in despair. Until finally the light of the gospel, the good news about Jesus, God's word, the truth of the gospel, invaded his heart and began to shine there through the power and working of the Holy Spirit. When he came to understand the truth about Jesus, whose perfect righteousness avails for us. That's the righteousness of God that is by faith in Jesus and gives us then that forgiveness of sins. And not only that forgiveness, but also the right to be called children of God. Again, the people to whom Jesus is speaking say, we are Abraham's descendants, we have never been slaves to anyone, how can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you, there is everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Jesus is using a common expression, a common everyday experience. You understand what it means to be a slave. Maybe we can't recognize that in a personal way or experience, but certainly the people at Jesus' time did. They understood that a slave is somebody who is not allowed to do anything on their own. They are commanded by the master to do what he wants. Well, that's what all of us are by nature, spiritually. Entirely slaves to sin from our conception. Their own psalmist David in the Old Testament said in Psalm 51, "Surely I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." The Apostle Paul knew that very well, just like Luther did as well. "I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." And that was Luther's pain and agony as well. Sins of thoughts, of words, and of deeds, all against God's will, and in keeping not with anything that really you and I would necessarily desire. But even worse is the fact that we have a wrong condition in the heart. Jesus also said, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. See, we've got a problem before we even start. We are perpetually and have a propensity, a natural tendency to do evil and to do sin. That's real slavery from which we cannot free ourselves. And that's why we absolutely have to have and need so desperately a divine Savior. Enter Jesus, who is in the unique position among human beings because he is not just a mere man. He is also the very Son of God in one person. And as Jesus points out, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Jesus is not a slave in God's house like you and I are. He's God's one and only Son. And it is that Son whose specific purpose and command was to come to this earth to take our place and live under God's law and keep it perfectly as we have not. To be completely without sin, to be able to give to us his righteousness. And then he suffered and died on the cross, bearing our sins and paying the penalty ransom price for each and every one of them. And as the Son of God, he not only had the power, but he also had the authority to do that so that we might become the children of God. That was his whole point and purpose in coming to this earth, to be our Savior, to do for us what we absolutely could not, and that is to set us free. No other human being, no other organization, no other authority or anything else on earth could do such a thing. But Jesus did. And that's why he's the one who is the Son who sets you free. And therefore you are free indeed. Jesus, the God-man. The one who took our place in all the things that we could not do, he accomplished for us. And by trusting now in him, in the truth about Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, we have that forgiveness of sins. God has pardoned us for all of our evils and rebellion, released us from that prison that held us. That's God's truth. Jesus Christ, our Savior, who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's our great heritage. That's our Lutheran heritage. Because the gospel is now the center and focus of everything that we do, believe, and hold to. Cling to that truth. Never let it go. That's your Reformation command and privilege. Amen. Now may that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus alone. Amen.